Yeah. Hello, brethren. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I hope you've had a good morning. I appreciate God for the grace He's given me this morning. I hope each one of us is in the same healthy condition wherever you are and in the mood of waiting for the coming of the Lord. I want to continue from where we left yesterday, where we saw the discourse that's gone on between the Samaritan woman and the Jesus, and where each one of them, the Jews had their opinion, the Samaritans had their opinion. We saw Christ balancing it for hand. The Samaritan woman, that it's not about the Jerusalem, it's not about that mountain, and also the centurion who believed in God, who followed Him. I mean, who had accepted, have to believe whatever Jesus would say was enough. It never needed Him to come physically and be present. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, brethren. Not to believe that as we are listening, that's the word, that it's not the doers of the word, it's not the hearers of the word that come before God. It's more of the hearers. You know, in this age of more hearers than doers of God's word, and I believe that good as a purpose. That we may not would say think better of ourselves than we are. Because in so doing, I said yesterday, it has brought reproach and putting us away from the presence of God. Now, if we look at chapter 3 of Romans, verse 9, the scripture says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin." Are we better than they? No. Are you better? Don't even ask this morning. The Pentecostals. Oh, the evangelicals. Oh, the mainstream. Are you better than they? No. Because it says it has been proved that both, all, are under sin. And the Bible says, as still is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. None is righteous. None is good. I just remembered that when Jesus was met by the young rich ruler, came running and told him, "Good master, what must I do, good master?" He said, "Man, why do you call me good?" Jesus trying to prove and show for that in this flesh, none is good. Even yet, it becomes more tough because he says, "None, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God after God." It's because the condition of men who even think that they understand, but the Bible says, "None understandeth. None even seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." In the generation we're living in, there's a lot of self-righteousness, self-acclamation. And that's why you see the scriptures. There's nothing good to talk about the age we're living in. Because there's a claim that we know we are rich, we need of nothing. When it comes to God, he sees something different the times we're living in. And I pray that the mercy of God may be upon us to help us understand and help us know that we are poor in spirit and need God more than ever before. Because the scriptures here are putting it that they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Look at this other part, it's quite hard. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Look at what's coming out of them. In the claim of that self-righteousness, in the thought of being that we know. Sometimes when I look at my seven companions, see the apostolic days and the days we're living in, I cry to God, tell him to help me, because these are not days where there's laughter. No, the book of Joel talks about mourning, crying, and coming out of our comfort zones, crying to God that we may be fully restored, that which he actually talked of this age and times we are living in. Many pulpits have become ways of death and massacre to many souls. Through the tongues that are full of deceit and poison. It's unfortunate that we're in an age where the hearing has been dulled. Christ spoke in the book of Matthew that the hearing of many is dulled. They cannot listen. They can't hear with the hearing of the Spirit. Because it's like some have settled on what they know, that has become the end. But God, who is full of mercy, is calling out to us again. He says his mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Isn't it that much of what this generation is full? Cursing, bitterness, speaking evil of fellow ministers, speaking evil, fellow brethren, speaking, you know, and the Bible says their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Where they go, they're all bringing hope. They're all bringing healing. But they are bringing misery and destruction. And the Bible says, and the way of peace have they not known. They don't know the way of peace. They can claim to. And worst of all, there's no fear of God before their eyes. God have mercy. People can claim to have fear of God. That's a claim. Let this be a thing to make me and you learn. Because for sure it is true. Living in a time and a generation where the fear of the Lord has been thrown out of the window. I was sharing somewhere yesterday, and I said that in the book of Matthew 7, talks about the wide street gate. Let God have mercy on us. He says, verse 13 of chapter 7 of Matthew, is enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, in this generation we are living in, it has been converted. I mean, perverted. It has been brought upside down. It's like now today, it is that wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to life. It's like it's that. It's like everyone is a Christian. Everyone is a believer. Everyone. As we, long as you claim, whatever you claim, you are there. Everyone, look at the masses. Look at the world. Look at the population. It has been changed. It's like, oh, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to life. Huh? And many will go in. It's like that. But brethren, the scriptures cannot be broken. They can't be changed. There's no fear. Let's agree with that. In the eyes of many in the day we are living in, there's no fear for God. There's no reverence for God. It will be spoken, it will be said, people say what they want, but there's no fear. The fear has gone. There's a lot of justification that people are carrying today. A lot of it. Self-justification, self-righteousness. Let God have mercy. And there's a problem we have in the times we are living in. And it's a pity. I'm not saying because I'm better. No. It is war. It is war. It's war everywhere. It's war everywhere. Unfortunately, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. But so like our minds and cannot fathom that. That's why the Bible talks here that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, he says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God without the law. Without the law, how? It's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It's upon all the righteousness which is of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Freely, the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. If we believe. But unbelief. Has been taken lightly. Sometimes I'm challenged. Because verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has forbore us. Through our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, he justifies him that believeth in Jesus Christ. Now, where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Amen. Now, when the works, when the law of works doesn't apply, doesn't perfect, then Jesus comes in by bringing his own, being a propitiation of our sins, so that by us believing in his blood, we are justified. And therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let it praise. And then there Paul asks the question now, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Now here is a brought about the Jew, the Gentile. It's about the faith in Christ Jesus, the justification that comes by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, and they were believing in that blood, and they believing in the power of it, will have to bring us now to be justified, or to be accounted worthy, or called sons and daughters of God. And therefore, none of us can make a boast of any kind to anyone, but rather we should all go and be under that power of the blood of Jesus and submit to its authority. Pastor says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the circumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? And Bible says, God forbid. Yeah, We establish the law. Hallelujah. We make the law applicable. We make that which was in the Old Testament be more real than towards than the practicality of it, the reality of it. And that brings us to this, that it is them that have had that. I don't know whether I'll be able to call it, but my time is going. Yeah. Praise God. That what is in our hearts? Paul speaks about it with a lot of heaviness, because it, you know, the law that was undertaken and carried by the Israelites never perfected them, and Paul says that he bears them record in chapter 10 verse 2 that the Israelites have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, and for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And the Bible says, for Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's exactly what it is. Christ is the end of the law. And therefore, we should be actually the doers of it, because the law has been planted in our hearts. We shall continue from there tomorrow, God willing. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you and worship you, God, because of this word. I pray, Lord, that this uncoordinated utterances, God, may be done, may be coordinated by thee, Lord. They may, O King of glory, be of value and benefit, Jehovah God, the hearer. In Jesus' name do I pray. Amen.